will call the meeting to order at 7:06 for the Sustainability Commission, and I will go ahead and take the roll call. Chairman Simon is on his way. Commissioner Charette? Commissioner Chang?
Here.
Commissioner Clancy?
Here.
Commissioner McLean?
Here.
Commissioner Roberts? Commissioner Roberts,
can you hear me? Here.
Thank you.
Sorry.
And Commissioner Beebe?
Here.
And our student commissioner is also present.
And actually, Sarah, Ellie sent her regrets. She has a big exam to study for tomorrow. So I'll report on her behalf about tree trails.
I'm not sure who this phone number is that ends in 0691. If you have any public comment, you may make your public comment now.
No comment. I was just listening in. I'm a new resident.
Okay, no problem. Welcome.
Thanks.
So then the next item of business will be the adoption of the meeting minutes. So if somebody wants to make a motion and a second.
Sure, I move approval.
Then I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. All right. Commissioner Chang, Commissioner Nicholson. Okay, Chairman Simon is not here yet. Commissioner Charette. Oh, I'm sorry. Does anybody have any comments about the minutes before we vote on? No? Okay. Commissioner Charette?
Yes.
Commissioner Chang?
Yes.
Commissioner Clancy?
Yes.
Commissioner McLean?
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. All right. And then next up are the commissioner reports. Does anybody want to volunteer to begin?
I can start. So I'm going to report on behalf of Ellie that with tree trails, the official time period for submitting entries for the chance to win 3 months of free composting ended on October 31st. And so Ellie did the drawing. The entries were primarily from Mr. Cadlick's science class. We did have one entry from the public. So that was included in the drawing as well. And the winner is from Mr. Cadlick's class, and his name and photo and all that kind of stuff will be, well, I think I can say his name because I think his parents have signed off on that. His name is Patrick Nix, and we're getting permission on some photos, and then Sarah will be publicizing that probably in a social media post next week or whenever it fits in. But and also thank you, Sarah, for planning to set up the 3 months of free composting with them. We have some really great entries from the different people in the class, and Ellie is also going to pull together some additional photos that we can use in social media or on the website. I have to kind of think about what to do with the other student entries. I mean, it's fun to look through them, you know, just to see how they engage with it. Obviously this year we didn't get as much general participation from the public, and I'm not sure if that's either because it's the second year of doing it or, you know, competing activities or publicity, but certainly in the future, I guess we can reevaluate, you know, whether it's offered as a public thing or not. But still, Ellie did a great job kind of getting all this participation by the students. And so happy with the result. Then if anybody has any observations or thoughts about the program in the future, it'd be good to know.
Jeff, we'll go to you next.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have too much to report on this month. Eric and I are actually supposed to connect later this week to kind of pick up where we left off on the Soul Smart and some of the community solar next steps. So not too much to report outside of what he has to report when he arrives.
And Charlotte, I know we've got you on the agenda as well for the Climate Summit update, but if you have any other updates, please feel free to share.
Yeah, I can't really hear Charlotte.
Can you hear me now?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't say anything of value. I have nothing to update at this time.
Okay. Carrie?
I don't really have it. I do have a winner for the Healthy Lawn, Healthy Garden program, but it's back in my office because I don't have that with me. But I will get that to you and see what we can do with that then.
Okay.
I do have it. I just don't know off the top of my head what that is.
Okay. Susan? Hi. Along with Maggie and Eric, I attended the Interfaith Green Network Breakfast, which was really interesting. There were presentations by Gary Kunin from Planet Green, which I sit on, but it's still nice to hear like a review of everything all in one place. So I enjoyed that. And then also Susan Buchanan, a trustee from Oak Park, spoke about the climate plan and all of the changes in Oak Park. So that was really interesting too. And that's it. And when I met, there was a Planet Green, but I missed it because I was out of town. And they changed the date on me, too.
Thank you. Shannon?
So I have a big update on, I guess, the greenhouse gas inventory that I'll save for later in the agenda. We are complete for 2020, so I'm excited to kind of share the results with the hard data worked in. ComEd finally came through for us. It's really exciting. But other than that, I did with Lisa meet with CMAP on Saturday, really nice gentleman named Jared, we met with them to kind of better understand their, the work that they're doing, as part of their, we heard about them, I believe, through their climate launch event, and, they are doing a lot of work, really focused on, they've been really focused on at the, our understanding from this conversation, they've been doing a lot of work on understanding greenhouse gas inventories and then also starting to advance climate analysis work at the county level. And now they're moving into trying to help look at jurisdiction by jurisdiction, how they can help nail down making those greenhouse gas inventory calculations and supporting individual communities with what they're doing. So it was really fun to kind of riff with Jared about what we've done in our greenhouse gas inventory and get some feedback on all the sources we were looking at, and then also how we can better align and what we're doing. So in some areas, I think they'll be, they're going to be a great, sorry for the background noise, there's going to be some validation that they'll be able to support us with, that they're kind of combing through my file and how I built it up. They are, you know, kind of working on some traffic modeling maybe that we'll be able to leverage in the future to, which we currently account for traffic and cars in our greenhouse gas inventory, but the work that they're doing will just help us further support the completeness and accuracy of what the estimations that we've made. Everything we've been doing is kind of based on current best available data and methods. So it's kind of exciting that they'll be able to maybe provide some traffic information, as well as one of the biggest things is the coefficients that you use to kind of calculate your greenhouse gases that come from especially electricity. So they're actually working on coming up with better electricity carbon coefficients. I'm not calling the right thing right now because it's late at night, but I'm currently using a regional factor to come up with how much greenhouse gases that we have based on our electricity total. and they're looking to advance like those coefficients in Illinois and things like that. So so it's just like a nice call to connect with them. They're, you know, doing some jurisdiction level work that, you know, we could basically be partnering from them that I think we can learn from each other. They on the climate risk side, they're just starting to get into some of those things. So I think there's room to grow with them there as well on that space. So not a lot to jump gain from them right now, but potentially more in the future to come.
Great, thank you. Trustee Gillis?
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Eric had wanted me to stop by because just basically, I think, to explain my role as a trustee liaison for the River Forest Sustainability Commission to VBOT and kind of how I support, you know, I strive to support you guys. So I will kind of give you my, like, you know, kind of elevator speech. And then if you have questions, I'm happy to fill them as best as I can. But basically, my job is to advocate for the Sustainability Commission on the board. So every time there is a meeting, we are asked for liaison reports. And so I, you know, if there's anything to report, I do so. And I do make sure that Eric is aligned with whatever I'm putting in the table. Because at the end of the day, my job is to support Eric and support and ultimately all of you as a trusted partner on the board. So for example, I did work with Shannon. I pushed for the CMAQ meeting because they are offering to help us. And as Shannon said, we are so far, we're actually ahead of them right now. So they're excited to learn from us and we will learn from them. And, you know, so for example, I attended that after helping to set it up because, you know, Eric was gonna be there and he couldn't, so I stepped in. So that's kind of a, like in a nutshell, you know, what my role is. There has always, believe it or not, been a trustee liaison for River Forest Sustainability, but they have not been that actively engaged. And we, you know, I want to be engaged, you know, given my experience working with the River Forest Sustainability Commission, and it's expected of me. So, you'll see, you know, more of me. I might not attend every meeting. It depends on how, you know, kind of, the, you know, kind of my, you know, what I have to do for from a trustee perspective. But when I can, I will really just kind of listen in and into the meetings. And I'm always available if anybody has questions, concerns, et cetera. So Eric, hello. I know you just got there in person. So I don't know how much you heard, if you want to add on to that. At all.
I heard the whole thing. No, Lisa, we appreciate you. We're lucky because we have an experienced former commissioner on the village board, which is awesome. So thank you. You're doing way more than you're supposed to be doing. So we appreciate that.
No, it's a team effort. So I am appreciative of my anything I can do to support.
Any questions about Lisa's role or?
I just had a question with who did they meet with? That was, I couldn't hear that part.
They met with, Shannon and I met with Jared Patton, who works for CMAP, which is the Chicago Metropolitan Area Planning Group. And they are working to basically put in place or do a lot of the greenhouse gas emission reporting for the region. But I think, as I said, I think that we're kind of way ahead of them. So we'll help them, they'll help us, and hopefully we can all benefit from it. So I will then turn over the floor to Shannon because it's her gig, not mine. Again, support role.
Thank you.
No, and I'll, no, thanks, Lisa. I'll drop in. They gave us an overview presentation of kind of what they do. So I'll drop that in. I'm sorry, I didn't really articulate who they were very well. So thanks. but yeah, great room to grow with those folks.
Can I just ask, as somebody who's virtually, is when somebody in the room speaks, if you're not on camera the way that like Sarah and Eric have their own computers up, can you just say your name before you talk? Because I wasn't sure who just asked that question.
That was Susan.
Okay. So, I mean, I've been in some other hybrid type meetings, and just if, you know, if the person just says, this is Susan or whatever, it's helpful.
All right, sorry, I'm late, by the way. We're the night of meetings, after a day of meetings. All right, why don't we move on to the discussion about the waste hauling contract. We actually have to weigh in tonight, everybody, so how do we want to go?
So what I would say is that I did put together the recommendations that I've heard being discussed at the last few meetings, including, you know, after reviewing the waste survey results. So I guess what staff is just looking for is a formal recommendation from the commission in terms of what it is that you are looking for in the waste hauling contract. We are anticipating asking the board for direction their November 22nd. You guys have your opportunity to weigh in.
Well, so I guess I'll weigh in. This is Beth. That thank you, Sarah, for writing up what you heard us say. And I would say, looking at those six bullet items, I think three of them relate to composting. And so for me, I would say that the top two recommendations would be something about composting. I mean, and I guess I would say, you know, that we would recommend trying to negotiate opt-out composting with an accompanying recommendation of seeking whether we can negotiate a lower price for it, right? The eliminating the backdoor pickup in order to get lower pricing, I just don't know that's something that you will have to negotiate. And I feel like this commission can't necessarily speak to the trade-off or how people would feel about that, right? But I would just say our recommendation would be to negotiate for opt-out composting at a lower price, however you can get to that. and I think it would be wonderful to include a composting option for multifamily units. I'd probably make that like a secondary recommendation or priority. And then I would put a high priority on negotiating those additional services for the specialty hazardous waste items. You know, there's a lot of different ways that that could be configured, but I think it was clear from the survey that would be high demand. That might even be like the first primary, you know, recommendation, and then the second one, composting. The stuff about the trash and all of that, I'm not sure that, I don't know. I think it's good to discuss those. I'm not sure how I even personally feel about trash pickup every 2 weeks. I think that's something the village board certainly, you know, would, that's not really up to us, I guess, to say. And I personally probably still want my trash picked up every week. So that seems like a little bit more of a radical recommendation to me. The pay relative to the amount of trash generated, that's something that would be, you know, it would be great to explore with whoever it is that we're negotiating with. But I feel like the priority is specialty services for electronics and hazardous waste, opt-out composting, and then other kind of creative things. That's my two cents.
Hi, this is Carrie. I want to ask you, the composting option for multifamily units, did anyone find out if they have, would that be one person? Because I know they have different trash pickup people for every multifamily, right?
Right, they do. So they're not included in the residential service.
So would this be something that would be difficult to do then?
It could be.
For multifamily units? Okay. Yeah, because I know that is a difficult thing just to regulate that.
Yeah, there could be some logistical hurdles to try to work through for some of these items.
Right. And I read through the man that sat in last month. I forget the company he was with, but he does electronic recycling. That's their business, right?
Oh, are you talking about the PCs for people?
Yeah, PCs for people.
But Lakeshore also does that. Who so does? For the people in your area a bunch of meetings ago.
Oh.
So just make sure, you know, they also have programs for
that. I mean, that seemed like a really good program. I don't know. I only know what they said in that, whatever you sent out, Sarah. But additional services per use for hazardous waste items, I mean, that wouldn't be a weekly or monthly thing. It would be days, right? Like we used to have junk away days or something like that. Is that how that would look, you think?
You know, I guess that's something that I would ask you guys is what is it that you are interested in seeing in the contract? So I think one way to realistically to do that would be to have a day like that. Like, I know we were previously doing the recycling extravaganza. So maybe something like that, or just an add-on fee for properties that, you know, they want. It would be something that they would work out with the pickup, I guess, is we'll pay X dollars for, you know, this specialty item. I think that was what I understood to be the intention of that.
And that a company like that fee for people, that it didn't, I mean, I couldn't really see if they just took everything or what, you know, I didn't really know.
Okay.
But I know that, you know, with recycling, it's so difficult to get people to put the right things in there. I don't think this can be a pickup thing from the house because people are just going to throw everything in there and then it's just going to be a nightmare, I would think.
So I think, and I could be wrong, so, like, correct me, like, what I thought the program that Lakeshore has done with other communities is you know how we buy the tags right now for special items? This would be, like, a secondary tag that you would buy. You'd attach it to whatever funky thing you're trying to recycle. They would pick it up and properly recycle it, dispose of it properly. That's the way I envisioned it. We probably should, like, ask some more questions on how that
like
works.
So, like, anytime, any week, anytime.
Yeah, just like you can throw a mattress out there anytime you want as long as you throw a tag on it.
Right. Well, electronics, I guess, are a little bit different.
Our
specialty hazardous waste items, I don't know if I'm comfortable just saying every week somebody could put the asbestos they find, which we found when we bought our house.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily how I envisioned it, but I think that we make a recommendation. We want some ability for electronics and hazardous waste to be picked up, and then the village would negotiate the options, right? Like, I think I was envisioning something more like once a quarter, you can come and drop stuff off, you know, at a central location type stuff. And, you know, it would be sort of like the recycling extravaganza, but it would be, you know, professionally run and would have to be paid for, but hopefully at a reasonable rate, and would include all of these things that we used to be able to bring to the recycling extravaganza, from, you know, batteries to light bulbs to, I mean, like, paint is, I have so much paint sitting around waiting for me to figure out where to take it and stuff like that. But that's more what I envision, right, is collecting things and then having the periodic quarterly drop-off sort of thing.
I don't think they're ever going to pick up paint and stuff like that. I think that's stuff you have to bring in. But
yeah, I guess I kind of worry about this being picked up. I think it should be something like a drop-off.
Which I think we can do now. So do we want to just maybe word this as, we are recommending a specialty hazardous waste program.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, so the goal, like, I'm trying to kind of take a few steps back and think of what our goals are, right? Like, so our overall goals are, we used to have I literally have a giant box in my garage filled with compact fluorescent bulbs and, you know, electronics and all this crap that I used to take to the once a year thing, but we haven't had it. And what we talked about in this commission is that it's unlikely we're going to have that again. So, like, you know, the goal here was to have some kind of program where our residents have a easy-to-use medium to recycle all this stuff. Because right now I think people are probably throwing it out because we...
Exactly. We want something convenient and affordable to avoid all this stuff going into the landfill. Because I'm sure that many people don't have the patience to collect these boxes of things, you know, wondering and thinking about when it is that they're going to take it somewhere, right? Most people are just not going to do that. I mean, it's a big effort for me and I'm, you know, pretty motivated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is Jeff. I guess to the point on phrasing it, because the current policy, I think we've done it before where you can have it picked up. You like arrange in advance, they come a certain day. So we may just want to clarify, like, they have a pickup service now that I don't think is that unreasonable price, but having like a set day, like you're talking about where it's quarterly or a set location, I think would probably get higher participation and use convenience. And I guess on the other point, I think I agree with what you guys are saying on the opt-in composting as being the other priority.
Well, I think they're saying opt out.
Sorry, opt out. Yeah, I said that wrong. But yeah, decreasing the garbage. It seems like that's supported by the survey results too in terms of the community interest.
I am 100% in favor of smaller trash containers. I think that would seem like it would be a great incentive for people, you know, to think about their trash or how much they have. And just the backdoor pickup, you mean that's that white glove service that we have? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm a little hesitant to, you know, like sometimes I feel like it's hard for us to stay in our lanes because we're all pretty passionate about, like, you know, things like smaller trash cans, things like white gloves. I feel like those are, like, I think we could have recommendations, and then we can have some ideas on how to perhaps implement those. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't lead with, like, hey, we think there should be smaller trash cans, because I don't think that would be popular. And, you know, I just don't feel like that's our call either.
This is Susan speaking. I think one way to approach that is just what you were saying before, which is our goal is to increase the number of people who are composting. And one way of doing that is to bring down the cost. So it looks like we're trying to get at all these different ways that you could reduce the cost, but without having the cost, like, to me, that's more of a conversation than, you know, the Sustainability Commission says we should have opt out, because I don't think anybody is interested in paying more money, you know, particularly if you do compost a lot and don't have a lot of trash, then you're really paying a lot of money for a refuse service. So, you know, and I don't know how to structure that as a recommendation, just that, you know, we have a very high priority on having an opt-out composting. And, you know, we would like to open discussion with Orstrom or Lakeshore about what are different ways that we can offset the cost to make that available. So different things that we've talked about is maybe offer it throughout the village, but only for 8 months out of the year and not 12 months, because it seems like not much goes on in the composting from December through March. And then these other things are just other ways of cutting back the cost so that the overall cost of picking up the refuse doesn't increase, but we are able somehow to get everybody in the composting. So to me, that's more like a conversation than just a recommendation.
I totally agree with that. So we would say, right, the goal is to increase compost usage, by opt out and bringing down the cost, by implementing opt out and bringing down the cost. And then there's
different ways,
all these kind of conversational ideas that we can throw out there to do that. But right, that's the goal. Just like with the specialty, like, the goal is to have a convenient and affordable specialty hazardous waste program. And, you know, to make it convenient and affordable, having pickup service, having set days, those are kind of like the, you know, the ideas behind it. That I'm trying to paraphrase as best as I can, but.
And then the one thing I would add to that is that I think the village pays, or I don't know, maybe this is somehow in the contract, but, you know, people who generate a lot of waste, there's a higher cost associated with their trash, which they are not paying. So it seems like the incentives are inverted right now. So people are underpaying if they have a lot of trash because we have a set rate. And so, again, maybe this is a conversation that we could open with Lakeshore. You know, how can we get people to pay commensurate with the trash that they're generating. And, you know, maybe they have experiences and throughout, you know, Chicagoland of other villages who have approached this problem and come up with a solution, which is palatable. But, you know, when I drive down the alley on pickup day and I see these people overflowing with trash, it just seems like, you know, like, why am I subsidizing that? You know, even when, especially when it's not a goal of our village to generate a lot of trash. So again, to me, that would be a conversation of how can we do that? And if we can't do that in one, you know, in one step, how can we move in that direction? So we're at least closer to that. And then maybe our full implementation of that is at the next one, but at least we're approaching that somehow. And they must have things that they've worked out with different villages that, you know, because we have to come up with something that's, you know, operational, not just like pie in the sky, like San Francisco does this. That seems really cool.
Well, yeah, I think this is their solution, different size containers.
Actually, in San Francisco, I think composting and recycling are free, and you pay per, like, the actual amount of trash that you generate. So it's a direct cost.
No, Oak Park did that. You know, I had a smaller trash bin. Now the thing with that is, though, I supply my own trash bins here.
I bought my own trash bins here as well.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly how that actually works, but that is, it seemed to work out pretty well.
So actually, you know, Eric, I think it was really helpful what you said about, like, going to the higher level goals. So maybe the recommendation starts with that the commission's recommendation is that the negotiation of this waste contract seek to achieve the following goals, which I think are basically to reduce landfill waste.
Diversion, right?
And increase composting and appropriate disposal of specialty and hazardous waste items, right? So, like, that's the recommendations. This is what we as the commission would like the negotiations to be guided by, these principles. And then we have these specific recommendations of, you know, working in opt-out composting at a more affordable price, and establishing a drop-off or pickup program for hazardous waste. The thing about the waste container issue, I'm not quite sure if that falls in a suggested tactic. It's probably a suggested tactic, because I agree with you that that's not something we could sort of, like, say, let's negotiate for smaller containers for everybody, but it could be one of the potential tactics to reach these other goals, is if that's an option or something for some people to say, okay, I want, you know, I choose, like, a smaller container for this or that. I mean, I think it's a really interesting discussion about how to align the cost to incentivize certain behaviors, right?
So I feel like Beth captured what could be a motion. Did you write that down, Beth?
It's recorded. I don't know.
Do you want to read it? We can see if there's one more round of iteration. Then we can.
I mean, I can read back my chicken trash notes.
Your version of it.
So, the commission's goals are to increase diversion from landfills and reduce landfill waste. Increase composting and increase the.
I think I said appropriate disposal of specialty and hazardous waste items.
Can I just ask you also, hi, it's Carrie, the white glove pickup. Do you even know, like, what the cost of that is?
Somebody does.
I mean, I don't know what the what a dollar amount would be if it went away. If that's what you're asking, I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, I know it's popular, and I frankly love it, but I just didn't know if there's a cost that you know of what that is.
Yeah. I would imagine that there
I would anticipate it being fairly high.
I just don't know what that number is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other comments? Do you have thoughts on this?
Nothing has been already said.
Okay, cool. Shannon, Lisa? Okay. Should we make a motion or should we just get this to the...
I think we can have a motion to recommend the discussed items to the village board.
Okay, and then we can wordsmith it a little bit.
Yeah.
To,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, I just put something in the chat. You can read it out because other people who are in the room can't see it necessarily, or Sarah can read it.
I'll read this. The commission recommends that the waste contract negotiation be guided by the goals of reducing landfill waste, increasing composting, and increasing appropriate disposal of specialty electronics hazardous waste. Specifically, the commission recommends including opt-out composting and a drop-off or pickup program for specialty electronic hazardous waste. That's solid.
That's great.
So that can be the motion, and then maybe there could be an accompanying document that includes all these ideas and suggestions.
Yeah. Hang on just one sec. What was the question?
Oh, I just said, should we include the lowering the prices of composting or no?
That's actually a good idea. Should we, if you didn't hear that, should we add lowering the cost of composting? Because we do feel like that's probably the biggest hurdle.
Maybe we could say increasing composting by lowering the cost.
Yeah, you know, the reason that I didn't put that in there is because if it's opt-out composting, then it's no longer a separate line item, right? I mean, I guess we could add to the motion something about doing all of these things in an affordable way. So, let's see.
Could I ask, does opt-out mean they just don't pick it up, or that you actually get money back?
You have to take a step to say, I don't want this.
Right, but then,
and then your
do
bill
they
would
decrease
be lowered?
Your bill?
So you're not charged for it then.
We haven't really gone there. I mean,
No, it's just include. So it means that you have a flat rate, and if you choose not to compost, you're still paying that rate.
Right, you just don't have the bin.
Yeah, just like if you choose not to recycle, it's not like you are paying a different amount.
I mean, part of the answer to that is however this contract is structured. So right now, composting is a separate line item. I think we've been going down this path of that there's going to be one rate to residents that includes composting. If you say no, you have to actively do so. Right? Is that? Yeah, you pay the same.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
But like,
so, you know, Sarah, you could just add something to that last sentence about like recommends including these things, you know, at an affordable or reduced cost. But I didn't put reduced cost for opt-out composting because if it just becomes part of your baseline, like what might happen is that in the course of negotiating everything, the baseline rate that we all pay for waste might, you know, increase, but it would just be part of what everybody pays, right? So it's not like, it would no longer be like, oh, I pay $20 a month for compost, now I'm gonna pay $18 a month for compost. It's just embedded in what I pay. So, you know, I that's why I didn't put the cost thing in. It's maybe not reduced, but affordable at as affordable a rate as possible, because you're always going to negotiate for the most affordable rate, right? It should be implied that the village is.
From last month, though, the comment saying that it was $30 a month to compost.
It's
$20.
It's
$20
a month? Oh,
it's $20 a month.
It's $30.
But it's still. You know, it's a barrier in composting. So, okay. Mm-hmm.
By diverting composting, our total trash is not going up. Depending on the cost structure, which again, I don't know exactly, but I imagine that disposing of landfill is more expensive than composting. Good. So, you know, there's an argument to be made that, you know, we're saving money on the disposal side by diverting our composting. So, you know, the way I would say it is that our goal would be to negotiate all of this for a similar price to what we're paying right now. So
oh,
not,
that's a good one.
Reducing, not just reducing the cost of composting, but, you know, we still have the same amount of waste, but we're just diverting part of it. So we're doing more work and the disposal cost is less. So we're trying, you know, our aim, I don't know if we get it, but our aim is to negotiate the same cost, but get this additional service.
So it's more about cost neutrality than probably anything. Plus residents that then have access to the end product of this.
Right, and possibly foregoing, you know, those 4 months where I don't think much composting happens.
That's the time of year I want to get rid of food waste, where I can't throw it in my own compost, you know.
And we don't want to stop the behavior.
Yeah.
I think you don't want to break the habit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we're like 90% here. So let's make this motion. And then we.
Yeah, can I just say I would use affordable instead of reduced cost, or just add to the end of that sentence, opt-out composting, drop-off, pickup at an affordable rate. And then that's up to the negotiators to, you know, determine that affordable will mean people are feeling like they're not paying more or whatever.
Okay, so let me read this. I'm going to make a motion right now. I'm making a motion to submit to the Village Board of Trustees that the commission recommends that the waste contract negotiation be guided by the goals of reducing landfill waste, increasing composting, and increasing appropriate disposal of specialty electronics and hazardous waste. Specifically, the commission recommends including opt-out composting and a drop-off or pickup program for specialty electronic hazardous waste at an affordable rate. Is there a second?
I second.
Do we do a roll call?
Yep. Chairman Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner Clancy.
Yes.
Commissioner McQueen.
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts.
I think she was muted. I saw her mouth yes, though. Yes. We have visual that it is a yes.
Commissioner Veazey.
Yes.
All right. Motion passes. Thank you.
Okay. This is solid.
Yeah.
And it's very, yeah. And it's digestible, too. This is a...
It's compostable.
All right. Well done. Thank you. All right. We're going to jump into updates. Beth, do you want to...
Sure. On communications. Okay. So the first thing about communications is a huge thank you to Sarah, who is doing an amazing job with it. So Sarah and Maggie and I had a little meeting. And for those of you who didn't read the monthly newsletter, you know, Eric had a great little piece in there featuring Eric, and that was really great to read. So thanks. I didn't have anything to do with putting that together, but thanks for making that happen. And also, you know, some great stuff in there about Leave the Leaves, Pumpkin Smash. And, you know, I know how much work it is to put together something like that. So I will just say for the record, as I've shared with Sarah, that and Lisa, maybe this is feedback for the Village Board, is I do have some concern that it is a lot of work to put that monthly newsletter together, and I am not sure, hopefully you can track how many people are reading it, because I myself find it difficult, the new format of like clicking through and trying to read something that's really a magazine. But anyway, given that we have, it's hard to read it, it's like a magazine, but it's online, and I find that hard and not very appealing. But that is what the format that we have. And so I guess where we are with this is that Sarah's done this great outline for us about what our communication channel options are. And so our responsibility as commissioners is to come up with the content and submit it to her in a timely way. And probably should have included this in the materials, but basically our channels are the monthly newsletter, which goes out the first Friday of every month. Our copy deadline, generally you should probably think of it as like the middle of the previous month, because Sarah needs, you know, time to do stuff with it. It's at least 200, but not more than 350 words, and she needs a good image to go with that. And so for December, Charlotte, I don't know if you got my email, but we're hoping that you would be able to write something from your experience in Glasgow and send a nice picture of yourself, maybe in Glasgow. So 200 to 350 words is maybe like two or three paragraphs at the most, you know. So Charlotte, would you be willing to take that on? It would kind of need to be written up in the next week or so, but.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. And then for January. Shannon, we can talk about this offline, but I was sort of hoping that we could feature you in the greenhouse gas inventory stuff. So, and just like we did with Eric, I think it's really great to actually to have pictures of the different commissioners. So Eric's picture was in this one, and we'll have Charlotte in December. And Shannon, do you feel like that's something you could tackle to write like two or three paragraphs by mid-December? Did she mouth yes? I can't see.
Would that work, that timeline, Charlotte?
No, I'm asking Shannon. Charlotte said she would write something by mid-November for December, and I'm asking Shannon if she can write something by mid-December for January. Great, and send a picture of yourself as the greenhouse gas inventory guru. Super, so the next 2 months are lined up. And then I'm gonna work with Maggie to come up with, you know, stories. The next one probably, Eric, is solar, although I saw there was already something on that. And then, let me see, I just lost, I had opened the document up. Oh, okay. So then there's the weekly newsletter, right? And there is dedicated space. We need to submit that by 8 a.m. Monday of the week that is going to go out. It is not issued the first week when the monthly edition goes out. That's shorter, like 100 words, also an image. Sarah, I think one question I have for you is, there's space in it. So do we need to fill the space every week?
You don't have to. We do have that dedicated spot if the commission wants to share something that's maybe something that's more timely or you know, just needs to get out sooner than the monthly one would, but it doesn't have to be every single week.
Okay. And I think you said, are you working with Carrie on something for Veg Out for this week or next, for this week? Did you say?
I hope you are, Sarah.
I have not been working with Carrie directly, no, but I know it was something that came up at the last meeting, so we just pulled the same.
Plans to do it? Okay.
Yeah, it's just the same content that we've run previously. So.
Okay. Well, Carrie, I'm sure you have no objection, but, you know, we can work separately on, like, more of a, like, a longer-term strategy for promoting that program, but it's great that Sarah has taken it upon herself to do that. And then the same thing with social media content is we can put up one social media post a week. Again, it needs to be there by 8 a.m. next Monday, each Monday. And, you know, we need images. So basically it's Veg Out Wednesdays this week, and then we'll be announcing the Tree Trails winner the following week. I am attempting to take Lisa's massive, beautiful calendar and update it, but so far I can only think as far ahead as what's going in this week. So, but that is on my to-do list, is to update that so that we, and basically all of you will be, if you have any ideas of things you want to communicate, send them to me, because then I can start slotting them into the calendar, and all of you will be asked then to just like write the content according to the guidelines, right? That's, we have the opportunity. So we just have to meet the deadlines and we sort of spread the work around if different people can write about different things, right? So send me the things that you want to communicate. And also, I guess I'll be, all these presentations I've done about the things that I want to communicate, you know, I'll be referring back to that, but that's what I would ask, is that you send me your ideas. Yes.
Can I ask a question? It's Carrie. You came up with a general guideline, I think it was two meetings ago, maybe, where you were highlighting certain programs for the month.
Yes.
That's still the guideline you're going from, right?
Yes, we just did. Yeah, we just did Tree Trails, right? And so I think Sarah actually remembered that I thought that the winter months would be great ones for the Veg Out Wednesday. So you and I should talk about, you know, not just sort of saying the program is out there, right? But any creative ideas we want to have about how do you generate some buzz around it, right? And get people to actually do it and make it fun. Maybe people are going to submit little pictures of their vegetarian meals. I don't know what, but you and I can talk about that. And yeah, I just picked...
We have a commissioner here, and Lisa has heard this from me before, but I would love to have actually just a Facebook page, like the Takeout 25, because otherwise it just kind of dies. But I know that's a village thing. And but.
Yeah, well, you know, like for the tree trails, we had done like an Instagram hashtag. I think it was like, you know, RF trees. So I don't know. That gets into a whole nother thing, you know, of having like a separate thing, because what I'm finding and what I'm sure Lisa found too, and it's an enormous task to keep up with the content, right? And every organization I've ever been with, for volunteers to maintain some kind of like a social media thing, it just, you really, I don't know, you have to be committed to it. And I feel like it is something that needs staff support. Like Sarah is the one like making these things go out, right? And she somehow produced like a beautiful October or November monthly newsletter. I didn't have really anything to do with it. And she put it together, but we have to, you know, take advantage of the channels that are open to us and help Sarah with her workload by providing the content. And I'm finding it a lot to think about how are we going to fill the channels we have, much less start a new channel. So I guess I would suggest that we first see if we can fulfill the existing channels. Does that make sense?
A little bit. I just know that that has taken on a life of its own where people post their own stuff on there. That's basically what it is.
I'm sorry, what has taken on a life?
Takeout 25.
I'm sorry. You'll have to remind me what that is. And can you just...
Takeout 25 was a program that a person in Oak Park started, and it was commitment to buy $25 worth of takeout.
Right. Right?
Yeah.
So you're suggesting having something similar to that?
Correct.
And I think that what the village's point of view is that goes beyond the remit of the village. And so I think we have to, you know, and that become, and so I think, you know, it's something that I have talked to, to the village president about, and we have to decide kind of where kind of the village ends and, you know, kind of local, you know, residential effort begins. So that's what I would say about that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Sarah, I think you've been involved in some of those conversations in the past, you know, working with, you know, kind of our, the group that's helping kind of try to revamp all of our communications with an eye toward making them, maybe the village doesn't hit their goal, but, you know, the monthly newsletter is supposed to be something that is, you know, kind of, is a different format to share information. It's a format that actually has worked in other villages quite well, because the consultant that the village is working with to do all this stuff is, you know, works in other villages. So.
Yeah, I mean, the monthly newsletter is a one-way tool. It's not an interactive thing that I assume that the Facebook type thing is. But I guess, Carrie, I would just say, like, we can continue those discussions and you have like a specific proposal, but I would say it probably shouldn't be specific just to veg out, right? Like if there were going to be a separate resident kind of forum or something, I feel like it should probably be for, you know, more general sustainability stuff, because everything needs attention, right? Like what I found out with the tree trails thing is that it's just hard to break through the noise, right? And so so I don't know the answer to your question, Carrie. I'm happy to discuss it, but that's sort of my gut reaction from other organizations is you have to really, there has to be a plan for how it's going to be maintained, you know, after we're gone and there are different commission members. And like I said, I feel it's a huge lift to just fill the monthly newsletter, the weekly newsletter, and the social media posts, and haven't even gotten to the website, which I've talked with Sarah and Maggie about revamping it so that it's more of like organized around call to action, has more evergreen things on it. And Sarah's on board with helping to implement it, but I haven't been able to get to actually even though I've got these ideas in my head, just to writing them down saying, okay, let's change the title from sustainability programs to a guide to sustainable living. Let's reorganize it in, you know, this way and that way, because it's a big task. So I guess personally, I don't have bandwidth to take on like another channel and how to make that work.
And, you know, just to, we have discussed the Sustainability Commission social media channels and things like that sort of on a staff level and with Trustee Gillis as well. And part of the challenge there is there are some implications of having additional Village of River Forest pages that are run by commissioners speaking for the village and things like that. There's there's FOIA implications in that as well. Freedom of Information Act. And then, you know, that was kind of how we came to the spotlighting like a weekly thing for sustainability through the newsletter and on social media on the village's pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and anytime you have a social media page, you also have to be prepared to have policies for what to do if people start it. Who's going to monitor it for appropriateness, and what are you going to do if there's inappropriate things being put on there? So I'm not opposed to the idea of trying to get more interaction. I agree with that, but I guess I understand why it's living within the village channels right now. But Carrie, why don't you and I at least try to talk about the Veg Out and how to publicize that more, and in the course of that, you know, I'm happy to talk with you about your ideas.
That's great. I don't have anybody's cell phone or emails or anything, because it was always in the group. I don't. Do we have that information or no?
That would be helpful. If you could send a directory or something, Sarah, I agree. I don't have Carrie's email or her phone.
I'll send out an email with everybody's contact info.
We just have to make sure that there's no more than two commissioners speaking together about commission activities.
Oh, right. But if you just send, you don't need to send like the group, you know, but send like a directory document, right? As an attachment.
Generally talking, right.
Just to clarify on that point, it's okay to send something out to everybody. We just can't be responding. So if you're just getting information out, we just have to be careful that.
I believe that's okay.
I would say anything that's coming, that it's being distributed to the entire commission, should either come through me or Chairman Simon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to make it, official. Mm-hmm. Okay, I will send that out. That's a great point. I mean, you know, like this current commission has been formed in, you know, like offline basically. So all the things we would have normally done, like, hi. yeah, totally. Like, now we have masks on, so we don't even.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, good point. Get that out. I'm not even sure I have everybody's, but I'll.
Okay.
Right.
Look in the police database. Beth, anything else?
That's it.
All right. Thank you for everything you're doing on that. There's been awesome progress. Community Solar is next on this, and I actually don't have an update except that we submitted all the documents. Thank you very much, Sarah. So we've submitted everything, but I have not heard a thing back from the MMC. Have you heard anything?
I've not, so I can make a point to reach out to them tomorrow.
I can do it too. I forget who our contact is, but
I think it's Edith.
Edith Macro.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's someone from the Illinois Power Board as well, Mark.
I just want to make sure that they've seen that we submitted everything. Yeah, make sure we did it correctly.
We'll follow up with them.
So the next step is, sorry, this is Susan. The next step is the mailing cards. Is that something that needs to be requested, or are they going to be?
So on the mailing cards, there's a template. This is actually kind of a general question for you, Sarah. Is there like a creative, you know, resource that we have either within the village or a third party?
You know, I think that they are supposed to
they're supposed to slap our logo. Just
right, right. To come up with the visual and the graphics for the for the postcard. So we'll just have to follow up with them to make sure that they get that to us.
So we provided the logo. Right. They're supposed to give us some creative, and then I guess we review it.
And then the other piece is to start setting up the web page.
So I do have that set up, and thank you for providing that copy. I just posted it into that.
So is it on the website now?
It is. It's not live right now because I just want to make sure that we get the there's a few links that need to be included in that, so like a sign up link and things like that. So I just want to make sure that we have that piece before it's live, and then once we confirm things with the program administrators, we can start making sure that we get it communicated to everyone.
Okay.
So the call to action will be, there's going to be a card mailed out. I don't know if there's electronic, like I don't know if there's an email sent out to subscribers or I'd have to look. I don't remember.
I think it's an actual physical mailer. An intermediate step is that we need to approve it. So,
right.
You know, so the question just is, are they waiting for us to request it or is that in the works? So I would say the first thing is just to inquire and say, you know, when could we expect to review the copy to review, just to keep things rolling.
And then that will go out, and the call to action, I believe, is to the website. Mm-hmm. So we'll have that ready to go by the time the mailer goes out.
Mm-hmm.
You also get it featured in the newsletter?
Well, so then there's the bigger, like, how else do we broadcast this?
Right.
Newsletter, village social media channels. We got to explore kind of every option that we have to try to market this within the village. I'll wear a sandwich board in front of Village Hall. Got arrested last time I did that, but it's all good.
Another thing that they meant, this is Susan, another thing that they mentioned was trying to get municipal bodies to sign up, and I just wondered, in our case, who exactly would that be?
Park district, library district, school district.
Yeah, and that's something that we can reach out to our counterparts at those.
Yeah, when it's up and running, maybe we can work out a strategy of how we can actually do that. And, you know, I think it's coming at a good time. This is still Susan. It's coming at a good time because natural gas costs are up about either 50% or 100%. So I think a 20% reduction is going to look been look good. I'm flipping things. This is electricity versus gas, but you know what I mean? Under utilities that people are going to be looking for some savings. So.
Yeah, I mean, the cost of all fuels.
Yeah, and actually natural gas does feed into electric. Like, I don't know if you're looking, Eric, because you're on hourly as well, but the hourly prices for electricity are crazy now.
Crazy. I get the text message every day now.
because they use natural gas in the production of electricity, so the natural gas is affecting. And so I imagine that when it comes time to renegotiate our community aggregation, that's gonna fit into that as well. So, all good reasons to be forward looking and all that.
So that's all we have on the community solar. Yeah, like, I mean, our next meeting is December, so we kind of hope that there's a lot that's going to happen between now and then.
Yeah, hopefully the mailing happens between now and then
so we can go live.
Because number 10 is really just the actual implementation of the program. So.
And that mailing going out holiday time would be problematic, too.
Yeah, but maybe early January.
Right. I would say if it's not going to go out soon, then we might want to push.
No, but I would say between now and our December meeting, we would want to have the mailer approved and know that
copy,
that was happening and all set and ready and have the website ready to go live and all that. And then that all gets kicked into action in January.
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
That'd be nice, too, because I feel like in January, like, everyone's got their, like, New Year's resolutions and, like, trying to do, like, new things.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. People are going to want to be better themselves in 2022, so why not do community solar? All right, any other questions on community solar comments? All right, I've been looking forward to this one, Climate Summit.
All right.
where to start?
I don't know where to start, honestly. So in terms of, like, the, like, big news from the climate summit, I don't know. There wasn't quite as much urgent action as I had hoped for, but there's been a deforestation pledge, which had me excited that had a lot of countries signed on to that. And it was to, like, prevent illegal deforestation. And from, like, the countries that signed on, I think it accounted for, like, let me check. It accounted for 90% of forests and 80% of rainforests from the countries that were signed on. And, like, it was even, like, countries like Russia, China, and Brazil, which was, like, you don't always get those to sign on to agreements. There's also been a methane pledge that a lot of countries have signed on to. So that's been good. In terms of, like, more locally, I got the chance to talk to Governor Pritzker on this past Saturday because he was in Glasgow, actually, which was pretty cool. And I was talking with him about how he asked me, like, what I learned at COP, and I told him about how it was really interesting to see people's perspectives from, like, all over the world and how, like, you know, I said, like, a lot of times, like, here in Illinois, it's easy to think of environmentalism as just being, like, for the endangered animals. But you meet these people here who, like, you know, the climate crisis is, like, you know, flooding their towns and, like, it's impacting their lives and their livelihoods. And Governor Pritzker actually corrected me, and he was like, well, it's impacting people in Illinois, too. He was like, you may not see it in River Forest, but the farmers, like, in southern Illinois, like, their crops are flooding, and they're getting, like, once-in-a-lifetime floods, like, once a year. So I thought that was really interesting because, I don't know, stories like those that are, like, the most impactful, and we don't really hear them. So I thought that that was something really interesting to think about and, like, how we can, like, promote, like, how we can communicate how urgent the climate crisis is and how, like, the things that, like, scientists warned about, like, natural disasters are, like, happening now, which I don't think the public generally quite understands. So I thought that was a big takeaway for me.
So what was, I'm kind of curious, like, what, so, like, you flew there. How long were you in Glasgow for?
About a week, a bit over.
Okay. And I know there's, like, different levels that you're allowed into, and you were trying to, you know, get into as much as possible. Were you successful in doing that?
Yeah, I had access to the Blue Zone, which is, like, where, that's, like, the, like, high security level area. But, I mean, I didn't get access to, like, the really, like, where, like, Biden was. And, like, the actual, like, negotiations were happening. But I had access to the rest of the parts where, like, the conference was and, like, the country pavilions were. And I was able to get access into some of the panels.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Other questions? I could interview you for hours.
Yeah, no, I just had a couple of comments, which was I was thinking about how this, like, filtered down to our little village. And so I was thinking on each of these issues. So the first one was deforestation. And I thought since our country has pledged, maybe we could begin a discussion about preserving some of our older trees. So, for example, you know, maybe start a discussion about a developer can't come in and just raise a, you know, take down 100-year-old trees. And, you know, that this is a good time to start that conversation because, as Eric has pointed out, we are linked to the Paris Accord through our metropolitan mayor's caucus climate plan. So, you know, it has to come back the other way, too. Once there's a pledge, then we have to. So, I don't know. I hope that sometime in the coming year we could start talking about that. Maybe, like, I could start researching what other villages do and how they protect, you know, not, like, every last little weedy tree, but, you know, like, it just breaks my heart when a 100-year-old tree comes down just because, I don't know. And then the other one was the methane, and I thought we could, like, and I think you already have, but we could just tie that into veg out and just make that connection about, you know, how this is our best effort at reducing methane is to eat less beef and animal products. So that's
a fantastic idea. Love that idea. And so, Charlotte, I think you have right there, you know, more than enough for the makings of the write-up for the December monthly newsletter. I mean, Sarah, you can correct me, but I think that if she submits something by, like, I think you said maybe November 15th to to you and to me, then, you know, you as the staff person, of course, can edit it. But I think it would be great for it to essentially be told in first person voice. And that's kind of what I'm suggesting to Shannon as well. I know you did Eric's really nicely as like a third person spotlight, but I think it would be great to hear the different voices, and that will also sort of spread the writing around. But I think it should be understood that Sarah as staff will always have kind of final editorial, you know, control for length and consistency with village style. But the guideline will be 200 to 350 words, Charlotte. So highlight whatever you want. I mean, the way you told it just now was a very compelling, interesting story. Is that okay with you, Sarah?
You know, I can certainly run this past the other people on the communications team. And
this is pretty heavy. This is great stuff. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to do them all as, I don't know how you did the Eric one. Did you sat down and talked to Eric and interviewed him and then you wrote it? Or Eric wrote about himself in the third person?
Eric gave me some talking points and we just kind of strung it together.
Okay. So, well, I guess, Sarah, I just look to you to provide guidance here, right? Because I'm trying to spread the work around. So I'm saying to Charlotte and Shannon, you write something, you draft something, you know, submit it. If you don't want to do it that way, like if you want to interview them and write it, can you let us know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and we can talk a little bit more about that offline.
We could do a Q&A.
Yeah, and that's what we did for Eric. We just asked him a few different questions, and he answered them, and then we put it in a paragraph form.
Okay. I mean, I'm agnostic on this, right? Like, it's probably easier for the people if you you interview them and write it. But I was thinking that if you needed us to supply the content, that they would write it themselves. So that's fine. You can think about it, let me know, and then we'll communicate with Charlotte and Shannon. But Charlotte's only got a week, so I'd like her to have some guidance fairly quickly on what to do.
Sure. Yep. Charlotte, I have this, Carrie. I have a question about discussions at that climate summit. Was there any discussions about the rising sea waters also equaling rising groundwaters? You know, the correlation between the two. Was there anybody talking about that at all or no?
I did not hear anything about that, no.
Just didn't know. I was curious.
It's like everybody needs to ask a question. Maggie, do you have a question for Charlotte?
I mean, again, I feel like I could talk to you. I'm right. So curious to hear about your... Well, I guess what was the most surprising thing that you learned while you were there? Oh, Sorry, I've got to think about that. I would say the thing that Pritzker told me, that like how much it was impacting people in Illinois, because I hadn't really heard that. Mm-hmm.
Was Pritzker the most famous person you met?
the most famous.
You saw Greta in the distance.
I saw a photo.
Yeah, he was the first most famous person I met. He wasn't the first famous person I saw, though. I saw Bill Gates, and I was like 5 feet away from him, so that was kind of cool.
It's so wonderful that you were there. It's really, really cool. Wonderful.
So impressive.
Yeah.
Stephanie, I guess on that line, do you feel like hopeful, like more hopeful coming home or like more daunting? I mean, it's kind of a heavy topic to cover when you start getting into the details, but what's your like overall perspective?
Honestly, I feel conflicted. Like, I came into the conference feeling like very excited to see like what negotiations would be happening and like what would, I don't know, like what would come out of it. And I'm like, the deforestation pledge and the methane pledge are really exciting, but I kind of thought there would be more because there's like the 1.5 degrees Celsius is the number that like everyone's been like talking about, that like we need to get under in order for the effects of the climate crisis to be reversible. But currently they're still at the 2.7 degrees Celsius mark. And I thought that like due to this conference, they would like get it under, but I mean, there's still 1 week left of negotiations, but I think from what I've seen, I don't think they're going to be able to get it under that 1.5 mark, which is kind of disheartening. But I mean, I also came away feeling like really connected to a lot of people I met there. And I think the activism there was really inspiring. So I also still have a sense of hope.
Great answer.
Yeah.
Shannon Roberts, do you have a question? You can sign it to us.
No, but Charlotte, you're my new celebrity. Goodness, I'm so, so cool you got to go. And I have so many questions, I guess. Yeah, I don't know where to start, but I just think it's so cool you've been sharing. So I appreciate your comments about Illinois. I think sometimes we feel like we're not going to feel as much as a lot of other people. So that irks me a little bit too, to hear that. We all know it's here too, right? But I think that just helps us put in perspective our need to kind of jump on some of our climate risks here as well, and playing our part.
Trustee Gillis? You're muted. We can't hear you.
I was muting because my grandfather clock was going off and people, it gets a little crazy. But anyway, no, I think it's awesome. I'm glad that you were there. It's been great listening to everybody talk and ask their questions. It is everywhere. Again, as Prisker said, it's, you know, none of us are going to be immune. So the more that we can do to mitigate that risk. And I think resilience is something we're also going to have to talk about, because I think that there's going to be an increasing number of climate incidents that we're just going to have to learn to live with and, you know, kind of rise above. So, kind of figuring out what that's going to look like for River Forest is going to be interesting. I mean, because we do have the Des Plaines River, it does flood. We do have more rain than we've ever had that, you know, is impacting folks. So glad that you're actively involved, that you were there for a week. Hopefully a life-altering event for the good.
Thank you. Yeah, there were some interesting discussions there about like adaption versus mitigation,
mm-hmm.
Which I think were, I don't know, I hadn't heard that much about adaption before I went there, so I thought that was interesting.
Sarah, anything?
I don't have any questions for you, but I do think that's a really cool experience that you got to go there to.
How bad was Scottish food?
I really like the fish and chips.
Really? Right.
I mean, I didn't try haggis because I was too scared to, so.
Missed opportunity. Awesome. Any other questions or comments? Perfect. Awesome. It's just, yeah, I think we're all very proud of you. And, you know, the reality here is that this mess is going to be fixed by you and your generation, because frankly, this generation is not doing enough or even anything. So
we don't even want smaller trash cans. That's where we are. We can't even go there.
Right.
I think it's important to say, though, that we're going to help. You know, I when I hear all this stuff, like, it's on you, it's like, no, we're here. We're going to help. But we just think people will listen to you more than they'll listen to us. Not that we're not willing to do our part. So I feel that's important to say, too.
Thank you.
All right. Good on you. Carbon inventory. I felt like Shannon was talking about something when I walked in. Is that not carbon inventory?
I just shared Lisa and I meeting with CMAP and kind of what came out of that. So I can make this super fast. I think I'm the one holding us between wrapping up. But and some of you haven't, I don't know if everyone's seen this. I shared it back in March, but I do have just some slides that I'll quickly walk through. To kind of lead up to this. So just to revisit our greenhouse gas inventory, we've been working on kind of getting this together, peggle this together for over a year. And why this is important really quick, we have signed up as a village for the Greenest Region Climate Compact, where, you know, we've committed to some key initiatives around climate, especially reducing our greenhouse gas emissions, And then we've also signed up for the Chicago Climate Charter, which in that we pledge to quantify, track, and publicly report our city's emissions consistent with standards and best practices, and then ultimately achieve a percent reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. So this all, so we've been building this greenhouse gas emissions framework. We are doing this based on, you know, an available standard. It's this ICLEI for local governments for sustainability. And it's the US Community Protocol for Accounting and Reporting of Greenhouse Gas Emissions. It is what the EPA recommends for communities to use. And I was very thankful to validate that with Jared this week, that that's the right approach. I've gotten that validated a couple places, but this is the standard framework. And I'll walk you quickly through that. And then, you know, when we start thinking about climate action planning and Susan, I know we have some catching up to do maybe on what, you know, Oak Park, how fast they are, where they're at in their climate action planning. But this is kind of step number one to understand how you are impacting the climate so that you can help make decisions and reduce things. The key things in this that to build this up is you have to understand what are our main sources of greenhouse gas emissions. So using that standard, you kind of go through like a quick applicability exercise of what do we have that adds to our greenhouse gas emissions. So the main sources, and you'll see it kind of in our inventory, are really around, the biggest things are where you are, your electricity usage, and then, you know, where, you know, what's called scope one emissions, which is where we're burning our own fossil fuels. So that would be our natural gas usage in our own homes. So we've included that. And then you're also supposed to include your transportation and other mobile sources. We do have some calculation related to on road passenger vehicles, which is based on the number of vehicles owned in the village. This is something that we have a good approximation or estimation here. It's probably a place where we could improve the accuracy and completion around our inventory, but we have that included. The red box here is a number of other sources. Like, we probably need to be accounting for freight rail that goes through our village. That is something you are supposed to include in your inventory based on the standard. The data is just not available there. So that's actually something also CMAP might be able to help us with. They are working on some transportation models. We do include solid waste approximations, and we actually get credit for all the great waste diversion we have. I can show you that. Right now, we do track metrics around our water usage as a village, and I'll show you again where we're at and how we've been reducing that year over year. But one of the things in your greenhouse gas emissions profile is you should be accounting for emissions that come from your waste, both your water delivery services and wastewater treatment. So that's also something I'm going to do some outreach, but CMAP is also going to help us try to include that. And it's likely pretty small in our inventory. It's not a material source, but we're just trying to, you know, improve the completeness and accuracy of this. And then the last and the coolest piece is that we do have a calculation for the sequestration that all of our village trees do. And that was something I worked with Beth to get over a year ago. And we got it from the Morton Arboretum from a focused team there. And actually, Beth, when we shared that with CMAP, that we did include that as part of our approximation, he was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys have this. I've never heard of this. And I passed that along. And that might be something that everyone learns from us. So that's super, super cool.
That's cool. I hope I remember how we did it. But looking at the thing here, I actually wonder if you should put it under the trees outside forests, such as parks, street trees, and urban canopy, which is probably a more accurate description of the river forest trees than technically a forest. Like, it would be the same number, but
yeah. And I just made my box the wrong way, pretty much.
Okay.
But I agree with you. And it is the same number.
Yeah,
we have both. And actually, Morton Arboretum separates out the two pieces. So we have both.
I think there'd be an official like definition of what's forest, what's...
Yeah, well, I mean, we have the forest preserve, which is pretty clearly forest.
And I think our number right now includes both. It's based on this iTree survey that gave us all of the trees in our area. And they did give us a number for an annual greenhouse CO2 equivalent that we could use for an annual basis.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. Thanks to Beth. Sorry. So this is, that's something I think we need to think about moving forward to, but so here's our inventory. When I shared in March, I had been going back and forth with ComEd and they kind of kept giving me data that wasn't landing within the order of magnitude that we had seen over year over year. So was disappointed when we originally shared that a while ago. It took them multiple months to finally say, yep, something's wrong with this data. And we just got it back about a month ago. So on a very exciting note, this is complete now. And because of the work that we did to go get renewable energy credits, and the name of the program slipping my brain right now, but because of that work and then also the work, all the work we've been doing across everything to you see the reduction, that black line at the top is our total greenhouse gas emissions as a village. We've steadily decreased it for the most part year over year. And then, you know, we're able to make that huge dent with the purchase of renewable energy. So I think that's huge, and it's especially huge because we've made a 34% reduction since our 2007 baseline. So I'll also note that this is a huge thanks to all the people that came before me who were helping gather data and track it as part of Planet Green. But we do have a 2007 baseline, which is so cool. So this is just, I think, really amazing that we're able to kind of show our amazing progress in the last 14 years.
Yeah.
Say Planet Green, our goal was to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 30% below the 2007 level. So per the, you know, Planet Green commitment, we have, you know, kind of hit that commitment, which is pretty awesome.
This is fantastic, Shannon.
Yeah, so this is a big deal, guys, because like we are part and I'm learning more and more through my daily work, but like the purchase of renewable energy and us, you know, doing all the work we can to help our community participate in that, and then, you know, support financing it and things like that. And I know Jeff Feezy knows a lot about that, and so does Eric, but this all is working together in the bigger system. So just like, this is so cool. And I think also now that we have this and it's established, I think CMAP's going to help do some validation for us that we're within an order of magnitude that makes sense. But he did give a thumbs up on the call and was going to do a little bit more work to say that, you know, we were using best available methods and things like that for all of these things. So we should feel pretty good about that. And then I think from here we can talk about, this should be up and running for years to, like, now it's pretty easy to plug and chug this. So now I just hope we can use it to make decisions. That's kind of the whole point of this, is let's go ahead and start thinking about, we could start looking at what we think is achievable, based on what's available to us and what we can finance and things like that, and make decisions based on that. The one thing we have talked about is that natural gas is really hard to offset at this point. Unless we just reduce our natural gas usage, which, you know, there's efficiencies is not, we're not going to gain a ton there. We can electrify things that we use natural gas for. That's one option. I am aware they're looking at a lot of options for the natural gas industry to kind of switch fuel usage and things like that, but that's really, really far down the line. So, you know, I think we have some work to do. I think the natural gas, there's not a lot of programs out there right now to offset that. But we could start thinking creatively about what else we could be doing around, you know, sequestering and offsetting things, maybe down the road with that, to keep playing our part. So,
will we update this? Will this be? Does it lag? Is it like a 1 year lag, pretty much, or is it like 18 months or?
It's all dependent on the data providers. And as of March, I think if ComEd just was having problems with their data aggregation, because they spit something over, but it just wasn't right. So I think we could probably reasonably get this together February or March of the following year if we don't have major issues again. So we should be able to do 2021 here pretty quickly. Fingers crossed. So
This is awesome data.
And Shannon, this is Maggie. Just in terms of, because of the pandemic year 2020, what do you think? Because I see like passenger vehicle use gasoline looks lower from what I can see on the screen, right? So there's some behaviors that might change and come back just because of the behaviors that were happening over the pandemic. Is that, are those things that you're looking at as well in terms of what might be a little bit of an anomaly given what was going on in that year? And then what do we need to rethink as maybe our behaviors have changed, considering that we're, some are still working from home, but some are starting to go back to work?
Great question. And I'm gonna talk it out with you right now because I've done some thinking, but not a ton. I think the biggest place we would have thought we would have seen an increase was in electricity. And that's where we were. I shared an approximation in March, but we didn't feel great about it because it was a weird year. I thought especially we don't have a lot of commercial buildings in River Forest. So to your point, a lot of people were at home. I actually thought we were going to see a lot of increase in electricity. I also know that generally greenhouse gas inventories in the year 2020 and 2021 are seeing huge increases in electricity usage because of, increased airflow needs in places. So I would have thought we would have seen it in the electricity, but we were almost the same as last year, as this kind of shows. So I agree there. And then passenger vehicle use. This is one of the areas that I am doing some estimation on. It's based on number of cars. We use some, kind of Department of Transportation estimations around. We do identify the number of cars that are in the village, and then we, multiply that by like average. We come up with an average number of miles driven within the village that they would, any car would drive from border to border, and then use a fuel efficiency number that's based on Department of Transportation. One of the things we talked about as a way to improve the accuracy of that is right now that doesn't like totally get down to how many electric vehicles we have versus normal internal combustion engine vehicles in the village. However, the fuel efficiency number should make up for some of that because more people are driving electric vehicles. So I think we could see some increases in that. But again, I don't think it would be material to this. So I don't think it would be like a huge portion. I think for us, it's, and I can't remember, it's something like 80% at least is of our inventory is natural gas usage and electricity. So it's really driven by those two numbers for the most part. So hopefully we only see electricity decreases as we all get out of our houses more, hopefully.
Right.
A great question. And I think it's just something we kind of have to see how it plays out. And maybe I'll ask a question. Are we continuing to look at how we can increase our renewable energy?
What was the question?
That part of the greenhouse going to the community solar is the next step. So you're moving past RECs into actually sourcing green energy.
So we should see that blue bar come down as there's the conversion, because remember, aggregation was automatic, wasn't it, for all ComEd users? So it's like it was opt out.
Well, it was for people that qualified for it. But again, you were buying RECs, so it's an offset. And I think what's happening now is if we get people to use community to actually purchase solar energy, it becomes a more direct impact, if that makes sense.
But does that affect the numbers, though?
Probably not. Although, again, I guess I ask you because wasn't the program, weren't they supposed to have both, like these two programs live together, and I think the Mayor's Metropolitan Caucus have figured out a way for them to live together. So maybe we have to ask them kind of what the projection would be.
Hi, this is Susan. The way I would look at it is, I think this looks great. And what I particularly love about it is that we only hear bad news. So this looks like good news. So it looks like, okay, finally we're doing something. But the cautionary part of it is that the renewable energy credits is a two-year program. So, you know, we talked in the past about, you know, how do we sell the community solar? And I think that this is a great departure point to say, you know, we're doing really well and we've met our goals, but this can be reversed because, you know, we had programs like this in the past, and then they came back and said, oh, sorry, we can't offer you the same rates, and then it wasn't worth it anymore. So I think community solar is a way to lock this in. So, you know, I would think that this is a good part of the, you know, the beginning of our story. But the other thing I want to talk to you about, Shannon, is just to make sure that the renewable energy credit is a current and accurate number, because we got some solid information. Like, we were running this based on an estimate from MC Squared, but we got solid information on the first year. So I know Beth had that. I want to make sure that that was incorporated in. In addition to that, District 90, Concordia, Dominican, and I might be leaving out, they all have renewable energy credits. So those should be included in the number as well. They're not going to be anywhere near the magnitude of, you know, the village-wide, but, you know, just in order to be accurate, that should be in there as well. So,
yeah, we don't have their recs right now in this, so we certainly could add that in.
I can talk to, yeah, I know about that through Planet Green, so I can talk and make sure. I know that I've sent some of those to you, but, and my last question is it possible for this to be posted anywhere? Because we always see it in a meeting and then it kind of disappears and then I have questions later on, or I'm, you know, wondering about numbers. Is there a place? I mean, I don't know how public we want this to be at this point, but
this should go on the Google Drive at the very least.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it'd just be nice if we had access to it. And, you know, as I heard numbers, if I could just go on and say, like, okay, does this include this? Oh, and then my last point, you know, given the information we have from the public about, what are those called, two-stroke engines, it seems like a big thing that this is leaving out are the lawn equipment that people use. And I'm just wondering, is there any effort to capture that? Because my feeling is that even though that's something really hard to capture, we're not going to focus our attention on it, and we're not going to try to reduce it until we at least make an attempt to estimate it. Otherwise, it's just kind of off the record. And so, you know, and it's got to, you know, in a place like Village River Forest, it's got to be a huge number.
No, we're not including. Yeah, sorry.
No. I have a question also. Is there any percentage that you know of these numbers, which is public and what is private? It's the village all together, but I know we're mostly houses here, but I just didn't know if that's even a possibility to know, like, how much of this is public and private spaces.
And sorry, when you say public and private, like, are the numbers public and private, or is it?
No, the usage of our public spaces versus our home.
Residential versus municipal?
Versus, yeah. Municipal, right.
Or commercial?
But is this just homes, or is this everything? What is this?
It's everything. We receive an aggregated number that comes from both ComEd and NICOR.
So it's all lumped together. We don't really have that capacity to know how that flushes out.
And actually, I do have the breakdown. I do have the breakdown for electricity of residential versus commercial use.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that information might be useful so we can target, you know, certain areas on what we can put money towards or whatever, you know, just to be able to target it.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely have it for electricity. I'll have to look if I have it for natural gas. But yeah, we can slice and dice it more. Right now, this is just kind of an aggregate for the village. And sorry, Susan, I didn't respond to your question on lawnmowers. Those are not included in here. The data is just not really available, and we'd have to make some swags on that, which we could if we wanted to include it. It would just be like very estimated. Like assuming number of people who own lawn units and how many, and then there are numbers out there about an average like greenhouse gas emissions from those, but it would be very swagged. So if we wanted to include that, I think we probably could.
Yeah. And just like, I'm just thinking like in the future, like just a way to refine this.
So just a couple things. One, Shannon, I just forwarded you those actual numbers that Susan had shared at a previous meeting. She got them through some diligent effort with MC Squared. And so I forwarded those to you. as far as where this lives, yeah, I agree. First place is the Google Drive. And then the second place, ultimately, I think, you know, we've been waiting until Shannon felt comfortable that was final, right? Because this is the kind of thing that we could put on the website, but I feel like it might need a little more explanation, or I don't know if you feel comfortable enough. We can talk offline, Shannon, about if we're ready to have a section on the website, you know, that describes the greenhouse gas emissions inventory and basically has this PowerPoint as a, if you want to know more kind of thing, right? So
I'm pretty comfortable sharing it. I know it's not perfect. I'm sort of aware where I know there's areas for opportunity and improvement, estimation and completion and things like that.
Yeah, well, we can always put some caveat language around that, but okay, I'll keep it in mind for, you know, putting it on the website, but in the meantime, let's get it on the Google Drive for internal use. And then the one question that I have about something that's actually not on here and maybe the community protocol doesn't have a way to account for it is basically sort of estimating your, you know, emissions based on meat consumption, right? Because Carrie's whole project has made me realize, well, if we incentivize people to do more veg out, again, it's kind of like a drop in the bucket in terms of actual emissions, but, or absolute amount of emissions. But if we're trying to incentivize people, say, this is something you can do, in theory, it would be nice if it was, I guess maybe it would just show up as an offset, right? I guess it would just show up as an offset without having to.
I do have numbers like that when I was doing research on all that. I do have numbers on that. And I think I have graphic commercials that I don't know if I sent, is that a word? I don't know if they sent that to you, Sarah, or not. I have little graphics that, you know, pinpoint. Now, there might be 2 years old, the data, but.
So what, it would be sort of like based on your population and average numbers about meat consumption or something like that?
Yeah, not population, but individual.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just something that's occurred to me, you know, but I don't know how to account for it exactly.
I also have a question with, like, in terms of, like, if we're trying to get people to do things, like, if we're trying to get them to do, like, the community aggregation, I was wondering, like, wait, I forget if it's community solar or community aggregation, but either way, I was wondering how that would be accounted for on this. Would it be like a lower natural gas level, or would it be the renewable energy credits that would be increased?
So for the community aggregation, I guess I think I'm catching up on that. Is that where we're at? Our residents are buying solar, but, and then they are getting RECs, or we should be able to get the RECs for that?
Well, the current program we have is the community aggregation where RECs are purchased throughout the Midwest, very broadly defined, reaching down to Oklahoma and north to, I don't know, was it Wyoming or something?
Creative but, definition of the
yeah, so it's just an offset, and it's a two-year program, and, you know, unfortunately, it could go away really fast, so we need something like community solar to lock it in, to make it a more permanent.
So would you see a lesser amount in natural gas? Like, would the blue bar go down?
No,
this is orange.
This is all electric.
It's all electric.
Yeah, as Shannon would say, at this point, there's not really any offset to natural gas.
This is all the orange bar.
Yeah.
But
natural gas, you know, natural gas feeds into electric. There's natural gas is used to power the electric plant. So it's not showing up in our blue bar, but it is showing up in terms of reduced natural gas, and then affects prices and other things. So.
Yeah, and I guess I'd be interested, Shannon, if you do have any, it's probably, NICOR probably doesn't know what people use their gas for, but I'm sure it's like 80% heat or something, but it'd be great to, I know there could be some federal incentives for electrification. I know there's state incentives we talked about last month, so it'd be great to get, I'm not really envisioning a mandate that the whole village is electrified and we get rid of natural gas overnight, but supporting where there's easy retrofits and people replacing heaters, that kind of thing, can be electrified now and might be able to make a dent in the blue bar too.
And I think this can be part of our story, which is, you know, as we get people to move over to community solar, you know, electrification can be a part of that, just to say, you know, we don't have a good offset for natural gas, but, you know, if you can switch whatever you can over to electric, that can be, you know, that can be provided.
Yeah.
So I don't envision that coming at the village level. I think that would come at the state level. And maybe it's in that huge document. Who knows?
All right. For the sake of time, any other comments, Lisa?
Yeah, I just have one. And I really think the next step needs to be to put this in front of the board. Because I think that they should see it first before it is put out into the public. I think it, you know, I just think we owe it to them to say, you know, this is all the great that work that, you know, your sustainability commission has done. And, you know, and basically talk about the fact that, you know, kind of what we're doing, where we're going, and then, you know, talk about once we get the CMAP endorsement, which would be huge, to just say that this isn't just us. This is the, you know, kind of the Chicago Mayor's Metropolitan Caucus, you know, kind of has, you know, and their, that, you know, CMAP has reviewed this, has endorsed it, and it just is great news that I think needs to be, like, you know, used to educate the board and, you know, kind of evangelize it, you know, kind of across the village. You know, again, placing it potentially once it's shared with the village, it makes it into the news because there's always somebody from the news at the, you know, at our board meetings. So I think that it would be an awesome thing, you know, kind of to like do a little bit of an unveiling.
Yeah, I agree with that. Can we get on the December agenda, do you think?
Sarah, do you know when the next board meeting is?
The next meeting's November 22nd. And then the next one after that, I think it's December 14th, I want to say.
So I don't know if either of those dates work. I mean, to your point, Shannon, I don't think we have to wait for the CMAP endorsement. I just think that's something that's on the, you know, kind of, you know, in the future. And it's something that, again, will continuously improve this. All the great ideas that were put on the table here are certainly stuff that we can talk to CMAP about and then, you know, continue to kind of, you know, improve over time.
And that's kind of consistent with how these are rolling out right now. Everyone's kind of doing their best and trying to be transparent about where they know gaps are or where they know they're approximating.
That would be great, you know, if you could present it to the board at one of those meetings, and then it would fit then with having it be in the January monthly newsletter. I have a small suggestion per Susan's comment, is that on this last slide, you might drop a, I hate to mess it up because it's so nice and clean, but you might drop a footnote relating to the renewable energy credits that says something about it's associated with this two-year contract, like, you know, for 2020 and 2021 or something like that.
Okay. Yep. That's a big deal if we want to keep it up.
Do we know, I know that Susan, they stopped the last time, but
we don't know what the terms are
going to.
Sorry, Lisa, I didn't hear you. What was that?
I was going to say that I know the last time that we did it, they basically just, the program ended. So I think we have to find out. I mean, it's a two-year contract, but unless they stop the program, I don't know if there's any, is there any reason why we wouldn't just renew it for another 2 years?
They could change the terms based on electricity costs, which are going crazy right now.
Yeah. I mean, so there's the economics of it, but
yeah.
But like philosophically, no, like we should keep the rec, you know, the aggregation program going. If the economics were
right, I guess that's what I would just like modify it to say that, because again, it's not that we would stop it, but if to your point, for a lot of reasons that are out of our control, it could end.
Mm-hmm. Shannon, this is amazing work, and I know you've put a ton of time into this. Thank you. Any other kind of last comments? I know we're going the old meeting 2 hour distance here.
No, last comment would just be, we do collect other really relevant metrics, and I don't want these to lose sight too, like that we've reduced our water usage actually pretty significantly. Our waste tracking has just gotten better, but like we've significantly increased our composting and things like that. So maybe just another discussion I am for down the road to work with Beth on is how do we also communicate some of these other really relevant metrics that are also very important.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, those are great. Thanks so much, Shannon.
Okay. In the spirit of time here, let's...
Can I ask one last question?
Yeah,
this is Susan. Okay. I was perusing the budget for this year, and I noticed that there was a 12,000 donation in fiscal year 2021. It says Sustainability Commission donation of $12,000. And I'm just wondering, what is that? How come we've never heard of it? And what was it used for?
I will have to look into that.
Okay. I guess it's more like a question because I didn't think anybody was going to have that, but it just jumped out at me that $12,000 is a lot of money to not hear about. And can we add this on to our 72,000 of making recommendations of what to do with this money? So anyway, just it's really more of a question.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah.
It's in the general fund.
Okay.
Under revenues. Page 84.
Thanks, Susan. Any other business? Comments? Okay. Next meeting is December 14th.
Wait, it can't be the 14th because, is that the board meeting?
What's that?
No, I'm sorry. The board meeting's the 13th.
Oh, okay. 13th. So Shannon put in the chat that she could do the December board meeting. So if it's the 13th, then hopefully that still works.
So I think on the 14th, we're clear enough of the holidays where that's okay. Is everybody okay with that? I mean, we're not all around, but... So we'll keep that on here.
Did we not have a December meeting last year? Usually we don't.
Actually, we usually have the December meeting.
I think we should just to get the community solar.
There's enough where I, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should have it.
We could keep it slimmer, but.
Yeah.
we'll try to be efficient with everybody's time since it is the most joyful time of the year. All right. Somebody want to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. This is Susan.
Second, anybody? Second. Is that Beth?
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. The meeting is adjourned at 8:58. Sorry we went